Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome here to Daytona International Speedway. We'll begin today's media availabilities with the two drivers involved in the closest finish in NASCAR history back here in February here at the World Center of Racing, and that is Tyler Reddick, driver of the number 9 Tackle Chevrolet, and Elliott Sadler, driver of the number 1 Armor Chili Chevrolet. We're going to open it up for questions. We'll start with Mike Embry, and we'll go to Greg.
Mike Embry, USA Today. Let me ask you guys, too, the race in February, do you have time to really think about what you're going to try to do in that situation, or is it just kind of instinctive responses?
I was trying to play it out in my head what I wanted to do if I was in that position before the last restart. And, you know, when we came off turn 4, I was, you know, trying to figure out whether to side draft or not, and then also try to figure out what the two Ryans were going to do behind me, if they were going to push Tyler or push me, or maybe try to make it 3 wide. So there's a lot going on, you know, in these restrictor plate races from the middle of turn 3 and 4, you know, all the way back to the start finish line. So, you know, it's a lot of what ifs and could ifs, you know, from my point of view, that maybe I should have done different or played it out different in my head. But it was so much happening and so quick, you just got to kind of respond to what's happening around you. And I mean, that was a close, I mean, if the start finish line was 5 foot one way or 5 foot the other, it might be, it could be a different story. But it was more of a reaction to try to figure out there the last, you know, couple hundred yards, whether to side draft or not, or where to be at on the track to cut the shortest distance to the stripe for me.
Yeah, for me, it was really, it was just trying to keep Elliott in line behind me any way possible. There on the back straightaway, he got me, he got to my inside. And as soon as that happened, you know, for me, it was trying to make sure the 11, whether I basically put myself in a position I was going to either get wrecked by the 11, or I was going to get a really good push and get back up next to Elliott. And for me, once I got a really good side draft him on the corner, I just tried to get away from him. But he, again, had the momentum. But I gripped him down to the L line as hard as I could on his door. And like he said, the start-finish line would have been in a little bit different spot. He may be the winner. It was just the right thing happened at the right time for us to be ahead by that much at the start-finish line.
And the 500 finish in February, I think all of us can conservatively agree that Dylan made a really aggressive move to win that race. Has what he did changed anything as far as what you guys think might be generally acceptable in the last lap here versus other tracks?
Well, I don't think Austin did anything wrong because, I mean, it's the last lap of the Daytona 500, but two, that was like the second or third block Amarillo had made. It wasn't like it was the first block. And I think when you're leading a race, and Tyler just said it, you know, he was going to make a block on a guy that says, you know, I'm either going to block and get a good push, or I'm going to block and get spun out. That's a decision you make as the leader. We all know that. If you're leading the race and you have to be aggressive to block here, you're putting your future in somebody else's hands. But from what I saw, Austin and Eric and what those guys are going through, he had a run. It wasn't really the first block that got him. It was kind of the second one was a little late. And, I mean, Austin did what he was supposed to do. I mean, you're trying to win Jesus Christ, it's the Daytona 500. So I don't think that's changed anything. I've been doing this. I've been coming to Daytona since 1997 as a driver. And I think you understand that you put yourself in a position to try to win the race, but you also put yourself in other people's hands when you start blocking and side drafting and doing some of those things. And you just hope you can hold on to it to keep it straight.
Yeah, we all know the risk on the last lap for sure. If you're going to make that block, I mean, you know, at the beginning of the race, you know, the guy may not be as aggressive, or none of us really is aggressive, really. We like to play around and see what our cars have so we know what we got at the end of the race. But you know what? You know, everything's on the table the last lap. And, you know, what happened, you know, my car got a little bit out of shape when 11 got in the back of me. It gave me a great push, but, I could have very well had the same thing happen. Could have very well went to the wall like Amarola did, but it just didn't play out that way. So I'm with Elliott. I don't think he did anything wrong at all.
We'll go next to Greg, then to Woody, then to Chris, and then to Reed.
Greg Engel, Auto Week, CupScene.com. Tyler, how much did that win change your perspective, not only in coming back here, but on your season? And Elliott, how about you? How forward are you looking to come back to Daytona for a chance at redemption?
Winning right off the bat definitely – take some pressure off you. But at the same time, our expectations are so high for ourselves, the nine team, you know, winning multiple races last year, winning the championship, getting to Homestead. There's a lot of things that went right for them last year, and they did a lot of things right. And so far this year, we've had the potential to be right there with what they did last year. I've just made a lot of mistakes at the worst times, it seems, when we've had really good cars capable of winning. We've taken ourselves right back out of them before we could even have a shot to fight for it. So we just got to be smarter and take better advantage of what we have available. Really, I was going back and looking through some of our finishes this year, and we wouldn't be really too bad off points-wise, just we have a couple races where, you know, Phoenix didn't shape out too bad. We got zero stage points. There's a couple races there. I feel like if we could have eliminated DNFs or, you know, finishes outside the top 15, that we'd be right where we need to be points-wise. So we just got to try and clean that up for the second half of the year. And as soon as playoffs come around, we all know that one bad race can take you right out of it.
It's not really redemption for me. It's more opportunity. You know, we always run really well on our restricted plate race cars for Junior Motorsports. And, you know, we had a chance to win the race here in February. You know, we definitely had the fastest car at Talladega, and almost got wrecked on pit road by the 42 car and had the speed from getting wrecked, and that cost us a lap and all of that. So, you know, I finished second here last year this race, and second last year at Talladega. So our cars are fast, so it's an opportunity for me. We're going to be in the middle of it one way or the other, you know, tomorrow night, and just hopefully we'll have a great opportunity to go for it at the end, and that's really all you can hope for on these restricted plate races. Thank you. You're welcome.
Woody, Chris, and Reed.
So Woody came with MRN in the back. For Elliot, kind of a out of left field one, do you remember your very favorite vacation as a kid, and do you try and bring any of those special memories back for your kids now? And for both of you, if you will, please look ahead a week for us and give us a little bit of a preview about Kentucky with a few years into the repave there now.
My favorite vacation as a kid has always been Nag's Head, North Carolina, because it's close to where I live at, and my parents have had a house in there since I was a kid. And I took my kids there yesterday for July 4th because it's a family tradition we've been doing since I was born. So I was in Nag's Head yesterday for fireworks and ice cream and food and all the cool stuff that we always do on the beach, and we have fun games and all that we do with the neighbors beside us. So that's always cool. Kentucky, you know, somebody sent me a picture of Kentucky this week, and the pavement is really gray. Holy cow, it's changed a lot, but it looks like they've tire dragging the bottom groove, I think, again. So it looked really dark on the bottom, so I don't know what we're going to have when we get there, but the asphalt definitely looks a lot different than when the last time we raced on it.
Chris?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Tyler.
You're fine. Yeah, I feel like Kentucky, you know, as it ages every year, it gets a little bit wider, it gets a little bit better, you know. This is one of the first tracks they've repaved in a while, so the progression is yet to be seen. It's kind of unpredictable. I would assume it'll set the precedent for how fast Texas will get back to the way it was. But it's gotten better and better. I feel like you have to run some of these races on the newer racetracks, you have to have a car that I feel like handles better in traffic, not necessarily what you want by yourself, but what I feel like what will drive better in traffic. You're not going to really be able to move around a whole lot, so you just got to make sure that you get the little bit of air you can on your nose and make sure your car drives good in traffic.
Go next to Chris, then to Reed, then to Jerry.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. For you guys, I was wondering, sometimes we come here and we see a relatively calm plate race, and then sometimes we come and we see a wild and crazy plate race. Is there a factor that determines that, and what kind of race do you guys expect we'll see tomorrow night?
Man, I don't know. You know, I watched the videos of both the races this week. Daytona, February was wild. Probably the wildest restricted plate race I've been a part of. Like, nobody let up. Everybody was side drafting, trying to stay up front. You know, you saw Larson and Logano just swerving back and forth, trying to stay, keep their track position. And then Talladega, we all got in kind of single file lines and kind of rode for a while and tried to make it last. I have no idea what we're going to see tomorrow night. I hope it's more like Talladega, where guys are patient and you try to make your way to the end. But you just never know this time of year with stage points. Guys start to understand if they're going to make it in on points or they need to get a win. So those guys probably have to be more aggressive, because Daytona lends itself and Talladega to people that don't really have an opportunity to win on normal tracks. So honestly, Chris, I'm not dodging the question. I just don't know what we're going to see.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely in our hands, but you know how tight how tight we wear our helmet and how much of an idiot we are. Yeah, of course.
It's definitely going to be, you know, it's going to start here and it's going to end somewhere. It's just a matter of where we start at the beginning of the race. Some of us, as we saw in Daytona, everyone was ready to go. Obviously, first race of the year, everyone's ready to get back at it. Talladega's a little more relaxed. But, yeah, it's just going to be how hungry some people are and how bad they want to lead every single lap it'll be. That seems like it's just – you never can predict what's going to be.
Go to Reed, then to Jerry.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. So, given the potential dangers of blocking on the last lap, where do you want to be on the last lap? Do you want to be in the lead, or do you want and theoretically controlling the race, or do you want to be second?
Yeah, that's a good question. But most of the best restrictor plate racers I've raced against in my lifetime, or you know, got information off of, they all want to be leading the race. They feel the most comfortable. You hear Brad Keselowski talking about all the time in restrictor plate racing, controlling the race. And he does that by leading. And I think some of those guys that get out front and are very good at blocking both lines and shutting down runs and stuff like that want to be out front. To make those guys pass you, I think, is their concept or their thinking.
Tyler, your thoughts? Where do you want to be?
Yeah, you know, I may not be as experienced as some of these other guys, but, you know, I feel like leading's the best place you can be. It worked out really good for us right up to the last lap there. And even when someone got alongside of us, you know, it wasn't a crazy enough run that Elliott completely cleared me and I got a push. So a lot of things went right. But being in the lead is the best spot to be, I feel like, especially when they're doubled up. When it's kind of single file, it's a little more harder to predict where the car behind you is going to go. But definitely in most cases, when everyone's two by two, you can really control the race pretty well.
Jerry?
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, Performance Racing Network. Elliott, last week, you confirmed that One Main wasn't going to come back, at least in this capacity. Right. This week we heard that you guys were going to race four cars full-time next year. Are you concerned at all about you, or are you going to be back next year? What's your personal plan with that One Main situation and the future for Elliott Sadler?
Well, I mean, I'd like to be back full time, but you know, you got to have sponsorship to be able to make that happen. You know, I know Junior Motorsports wants to be full time four cars. I mean, they deserve to be. They have a lot of great employees over there that, you know, they want to keep in the mix, and I think they feel they're a stronger team with four cars, and I believe that being a part of it as well. So we'll see where I fit in. You know, I'm 43 years old. If I was 23, I'd be flipping out about it, or, you know, because I've been through this before. It's not like it's my first rodeo. So I understand that there's some things I can control and there's some things I can't. But I'm going to focus on what I can control this year. That's on the track. That's running good. That's trying to stay up front, try to stay a part of the championship chase, and then just see where that takes me. As far as next year is concerned, we're talking to some sponsors now and talking to some people that might be available to do some things, but you still got to put a schedule together for 33 races. So, and Junior Motorsports has to do that as well. So there's a lot of moving parts going on with it. And we'll take it from that one step at a time. Oh yeah, 100% in limbo. Yeah. I mean, this all just kind of just happened and then we'll take it where it goes. But, you know, I can't get caught up in next year first when I need to be worried about what we're doing this year as well. But, you know, we'll see what's best for me or best for the team and see what the options are and opportunities and all of that. I mean, we're just starting. I mean, we're just like in the first page of this book to figure out, you know, what's best for not only me but also Junior Motorsports, you know, moving forward. But we're going to try to find something to stay together. I love that place. I love racing for them. And, we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Gentlemen. Thanks for taking the time to join us. Good luck tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you.